and the gospel must first be published, Elder Victor L. Brown, Victor L. Brown, Conference Report, April 1967, pages 34-37. In recent days, it has been my privilege to walk on the shores of the Sea of Galilee where Jesus, speaking to two fishermen, Simon and Andrew, said, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." As I stood on the Mount of Olives, looking toward Jerusalem, I recall that on this same mount, the Master instructed Peter, James, John, and Andrew as to the future of the world, even as to his second coming. He told them of wars and rumors of wars, of terrible calamities that would befall nations, kingdoms, and peoples before the Son of Man would come in clouds of great power and glory. Another statement Mark attributes to the Savior on this same occasion took a new meaning for me. He said, "And the gospel must first be published among all nations." Assignment to increase communication of gospel to the world. Approximately 2 years ago, the first presidency of the church directed the presiding bishopric to establish a translation, publishing, and distribution organization, with the charge that Spanish-speaking members of the church in Mexico, Central America, and South America were to receive the literature and materials of the church in their own language and that they were to receive them at the same time they were received by the members of the church in the center stakes. Translating increases. Shortly thereafter, Portuguese and the languages of Western Europe, Finnish, Swedish, Norwegian, Danish, Dutch, German, French, and Italian were included, and now in recent days, Samoan, Tahitian, and Tongan have been added. Bishop Vandenberg asked that I represent the presiding bishopric in carrying out this assignment. During these past 2 years, many faith-promoting and inspiring events have taken place. May I share some with you? In approaching such an assignment, one first begins by developing an organization. This involves people. It is my conviction that the Lord has touched the hearts and the lives of men and women in many lands who have been preparing for such a work, and then He has led us to them. As Brother J. Thomas Fiennes, the director of the overall organization, and I have traveled over the world, carrying out our assignment, we have marveled at what has taken place. We traveled to one distant land, not having an idea as to the course of action that would be necessary. Within 2 or 3 hours after meeting with the mission presidents involved, our course of action was as clear as though we had spent weeks of analysis. We were able to appoint a manager and initiate the work within a matter of hours after our arrival. One of the mission presidents said, "We are ready for a stake in our mission, but it cannot be accomplished in our mission until your program is in operation." The program is in operation. The first stake in South America was organized under the direction of Elders Spencer W. Kimball and Franklin D. Richards, May 1, 1966, in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Within the last few weeks, a similar experience has taken place in another area of the world. Several weeks ago, as we traveled to New Zealand to meet with the mission presidents of the South Pacific, we had no idea as to the means for the solution to the literature problems of the church in the non-English languages of the South Sea Islands. After meeting only a few hours with Elder Thomas S. Monson, Elder Paul H. Dunn, and the mission presidents, again the course was clear. Now we have a manager in this area and a building has been leased. The preparatory work to translate the church literature into Samoan, Tongan and Tahitian is moving forward at full speed. Of course, all of this is under the direction of the First Presidency and those members of the 12 responsible for these areas of the world. As we have met with the translation personnel in the various countries, I have marveled at their unusual talents. Translating is a very exacting work, requiring considerable training and much concentration. Just because someone is familiar with a particular language does not mean he can translate into that language. Each translation applicant is given a thorough test, which he must pass before he can begin to work with us. Many who would like to do this work cannot because they are not sufficiently well trained. There are many words and terms in English that cannot be translated directly into other languages. The translator must have the ability to transfer the author's meaning from one language and culture to another with an absolute minimum of distortion. This is most difficult. It is even difficult sometimes to be sure one understands the author's intent in English. Take, for instance, the translator who received a Relief Society lesson for translation. In the lesson was a recipe calling for chicken of the sea. Every Relief Society sister knows that chicken of the sea is a brand of tuna fish, that is, every sister in the United States. The translator checked her encyclopedia and other reference books. She checked the library and university. Finally, in desperation, she translated chicken of the sea as hen of the ocean. Here is what one of our wonderful Danish translators has to say about translating work in the church. I should like to tell you just a fraction of what you ought to know when asked to translate MIA books. You have to be a dancing master, beauty specialist, choir director, and you have to know something about sports and athletics. You should be a chemist or a druggist. You should be an educated musician. You ought to know something about baking, cooking, gardening, arranging of flowers, something about singing, acting, first aid, and puppet shows. You have to know as much as possible of church organizations and of how the different auxiliaries are organized and how they work. In some cases, you will have to call the Ministry of Education, the airport, the fire service, a domestic science college, the Olympic Games Committee, and the inspector of business. You have to know about weights and measures and of the different expressions used by lawyers, and so forth. You must know the scriptures, and it is good if you know Shakespeare's works almost by heart, because you will often find quotations or citations without any references. You must be able to know where to find a quotation, if it belongs to the Bible, the Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants or Pearl of Great Price, and also if it is written by Matthew, John, or Paul. Another of our translators received the song book the children sing to be translated into German. Music is most difficult to translate, and the children sing is no exception. In this case, however, the translator could not write fast enough to keep up with the flow of words as they came to her. There was no doubt in her mind as to the source of her inspiration. One example of devotion was manifest in the life of a lovely sister who recently passed away. She had just completed translating the book Jesus the Christ into Swedish, her native tongue. Her manuscript was typewritten. This does not seem unusual until we are made aware of the fact that she was almost totally paralyzed and was so crippled that she pressed one key at a time with a rubber-pointed stick. You can imagine the thousands of times this stick held in her gnarled hand had to be depressed on a typewriter key to record the teachings of this book in her native language. There are many other stories, some humorous, some serious, all examples of devotion and faith. It might be well to indicate in general the materials to be translated. Of course, the standard works have been translated into many languages. They will be done in others as the First Presidency directs. Other approved books will be translated. Material to appear in the July monthly Unified magazine is being worked on today. The programs that have been correlated for the English-speaking saints, such as Home Teaching, Family Home Evening, Melchizedek Priesthood, Aaronic Priesthood, and the Relief Society Lessons, will be available in the Latin American and European languages on September 1, 1967, which is the date they will also be introduced in the English language. Once these materials have been translated, they must be printed and distributed to the officers, teachers, and members of the church. 6 printing and distribution centers have been established to accomplish this phase of the work. In Copenhagen, Denmark, we are now prepared to serve Finland, Sweden, Norway, and Denmark. In Liege, Belgium, service is being provided for all French and Dutch speaking members of the church. Frankfurt, Germany, is providing service to the German and Italian members. Sao Paulo, Brazil, to the Portuguese. Mexico City, to the Spanish. Auckland, New Zealand, will soon be in operation, providing services to Samoa, Tonga, and Tahiti. In each case, we are convinced that special men, with particular training abilities, have been called. Time after time, I have heard such comments as this: "Now, we finally know why we moved here," or, "I know my training over the years has been to prepare to accomplish this work." These and many other comments have come from our associates. Most of them have been members of the church for less than 5 years. Aided by correlation, all of this work is being accomplished under the direction of the First Presidency and the Council of the Twelve. It is possible today because of the great correlation program that is in the church. I think it would be almost impossible without correlation. Our associates, both at home and abroad, are motivated by the desire to be anxiously engaged in this great cause as we contemplate the 90th section of the Doctrine and Covenants, 11th verse. We realize the Lord is speaking of our day. He says, "For it shall come to pass in the day, that every man shall hear the fullness of the gospel in his own tongue, and in his own language." We feel this work is a literal fulfillment of prophecy. We are deeply grateful for the great privilege of being a small part in making it possible for many thousands to hear the fullness of the gospel in their own language. If I interpret the scriptures correctly, all of this is to the end that His kingdom may go forth upon the earth, that the inhabitants thereof may receive it and be prepared for the days to come, in the which the Son of Man shall come down in heaven, clothed in the brightness of His glory, to meet the kingdom of God which is set up on the earth. It is my witness, my brothers and sisters, that God lives, that Jesus Christ will come again, and that there is much to be done before he comes. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.